Good morning. Welcome to Hammond Bay Baptist Church. As Christian said, I'm the associate pastor here, which largely means that I'm in charge of youth. I decided to go undercover for that ministry as one of the youth kids. That's why I look so young. Welcome here, especially if you're new or you're on a hiatus from Hammond Bay. We're so glad you're here. And yeah, this morning we're going to be continuing our sermon series on 1 John, revealing love, and this morning we're going to talk about active love. So back in Sunday school, when I was growing up, and you guys probably remember as well, there was a song that we would sing, and it says, "And they will know that we are Christians by our love." And this is a very truthful and hopeful statement, but it's sometimes very hard. It's sometimes hard to tell what differentiates us as Christians from the rest of the world. Some days I find it very hard to be much different from the world around me. And particularly when I play soccer. So when I play soccer, I'm a pretty competitive player, and so I really like to pull on jerseys when people run by. I sometimes get upset at the referee, and sometimes, at my very worst, laugh tauntingly as I run past other players. Sometimes it's hard to be different. And for some of you, maybe you have an actually healthy outlook on competition and sports, so you don't see that as a problem. But I think we've all wondered at one point or another, what makes us different as Christians? How am I being different right now? I'm from a Mennonite Brethren background, and my ancestors, all those years ago, they chose to show that they are different from everyone by removing themselves from the world. So they would not own a TV, they would not go to the movies, and certainly they would not have liked the guitar and the drums that we played this morning. They would not have liked Trudy up there. Too vibrant for them. And they would just remove themselves from the world. And perhaps they were onto something, that we need to avoid a lot of the world's practices to show that we are Christians. But there also has to be some other solution, doesn't there? Sure, if we remove ourselves from the entire world, people will know, those people over there are the Christians, the ones up in the hills hiding, those are the Christians. But will they ever actually get to know a Christian? Will an atheist ever have a chance to befriend a Christian and walk alongside them? And so it's with this tension that we wonder, how do people know that we are different? If they watched us get cut off in traffic, would they know that we are Christians? If they watched us while we were lying around watching TV, would they know that we are Christians? If they saw us at work or playing with our friends and family, how would they know that we are Christians? What really sets us apart, and how can others tell the difference? So I have a short clip prepared from the hit show Brooklyn Nine-Nine, it's a cop show, and it represents how seeing the difference can often be really difficult. I hope it works.
No.
Here are
it's a meeting.
One is your locker, the other is a garbage dump in the Philippines. Can you tell me?
Yeah.
That one's the dump.
They're both your locker.
Gosh!
If you didn't hear the start of it, he said he has a picture of a garbage dump and his locker, and he said they're both his locker. It's pretty funny. Telling the difference is often very difficult. And the Apostle John knew this. And so John gives us a very good look at what makes us different and distinguishable as followers of Christ. And John does this using logic. So an example of logic is that my friend, Christian Pye, is getting very old. And because Christian Pye is getting very old, he's going to go bald soon. And because Christian Pye is getting very old, and he's going to go bald soon, I'm going to tease him for being bald very soon. That's an example of logic. If this is true, then this must also be true. And that's how John makes this argument, all seeking to show that we as Christians are different. And this is what it says. This is in 1 John 3, verse 11. For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in them. So John begins this argument by making a contrast. There is love and life, and there is hatred and death. And he uses the example of Cain and Abel to show this. Cain represents hate. He murdered his brother out of jealousy and hatred. And we are not to be like Cain for two reasons. First, because we want to be like Jesus Christ and follow in his ways. And second, because murder is illegal in Canada. So you should not do that. John then connects love with life when he says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Love and life are associated, and death and hatred are associated. John's point in this first section that we just looked at is to love is to live, to not love is to remain in death. And this is true in two ways. If we live in hatred, we are choosing to not be in Jesus Christ, ultimately choosing an eternity that we don't want to be with him. We're choosing separation from him. But also there's another way that hate leads to death. If we have only a life of hatred, it leads to an unfulfilling life, one without connection, one without joy, one with nothing. This passage is clear that hatred leads to death, both in our present life and our eternal life. The biblical scholar, Marianne Thompson, says about 1 John 3, God's love is not simply a thing to be admired. It is rather the power that transfers those who have faith from death to life, from the realm of hatred to love. So John makes this contrast between hatred and love to urge believers to choose love. We are invited to choose love from Jesus. To love is to live, so why not choose love, is what John is saying here. And now it's very simple to say, choose love. It's a generic statement. You could put it on a nice bumper sticker, or perhaps a t-shirt at VBS. But how does one actually love? So after urging Christians to choose love and life, John paints a picture of what this love looks like. And he says, picking up in verse 16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother and sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. So Jesus Christ himself is a perfect example of the love we are to choose. It's an active laying down of ourselves, and we are to do the same out of love that Jesus did. Loving others costs something, and in Jesus' case, loving us cost him his life. And we are called to lay down our lives for others. John argues that this love that we are to choose is an active love. It is love that takes action. Love that does something. Not a love that you simply say or sits on a shelf or is stagnant. It is actively finding ways to give of ourselves to others. And this is hard. Because why would I want to use my energy to find ways to give of myself? But that's what we are called to do. And John says that if anyone has the means of helping someone and they clearly don't have love. Jesus says something very similar in Matthew 25, verse 31 to 40. And says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people, one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did to one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. So Jesus invites us to use our actions to show our unity with him. It's silly to think that we can love people without showing it and doing something through our actions. And it's silly to think that we can follow Jesus without living it out. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Love has to be active. And how we make this love active differs from person to person. For some people, it's cooking a meal for someone who's experienced loss. For others, it's giving a long, compassionate ear for someone who just needs to talk to you. For others, perhaps it's working on a project or pulling Scottish broom out of the church backyard there. In my marriage with Becca, we each show love very differently to each other. It varies. So I love encouragement. I love feeling encouraged. So Becca actively shows me love by sitting and listening to me talk about my hopes and my dreams. She sits there and she writes nice encouragement notes for me, and she's always so affirming of me. And that's how she actively shows me love. Becca loves when I do acts of service for her. So one of the simplest ways that I show my love for her is I don't think she's made herself her tea in the last year, because I always try and make it for her. That's one of the simple ways. But we're all different. You see, I actually hate when people do acts of service for me. Well, not hate, but I don't like it as much. I once had some friends while I was at college. I was very stressed that I left for the weekend. I said, Joe, it'd be really nice. Let's clean Luke's room for him. He loves when things are clean. So I come back to this clean room. This was very unloving of me. I was just really upset that they didn't clean my mugs the way that I like to clean them. My binders weren't where I want them. The point being, how we show love and how we receive love differs from person to person. But what doesn't change is that love is active. And love isn't just shown through actions. Love takes action. If we have this true love in us, it manifests itself. It forces us to act when we see our neighbors struggling. We can't help but give them what we have. And John also clarifies that we are to love in action and in truth. And to love in truth relates to the idea that we associate with the truth. The truth is Jesus Christ. And John is saying that when we love, we belong to the truth of Jesus. It is part of who we are. So I have this slide up here because I'm going to tell some more stories about active love in my life. So when I was in grade 10, I broke my leg. I was playing soccer, and I broke it clean through right here. It was very painful, not good. and I was unable to do any of the things that I like to do. And perhaps some of you have been in a similar place, where you've been injured, or you've been hindered by something. And you remember the sadness of realizing, I can't do the things I like to do, much less do the things I need to do. I'm reliant on someone else. It's a very sad time to be in. So I was very disappointed. And it was in this time that I saw so clearly those who loved in words and in speech, and those who loved in actions and in truth. The ones who loved in words and in speech, they'd write on my Facebook wall, get well soon. They'd say, hey, how you doing, buddy, in the hallway. That was all nice and good. I didn't really know that they cared. The ones who loved with their actions and in truth, they showed it and they made an effort. And one particular story, I have to tell a little background. So when I was in grade 10, I lived off Mountain Dew, nonstop, all the time. I drank so much of it. Very bad for you. And so I also, in my grade 10 maturity and brilliant humor, we always joked that Mountain Dew was called unicorn pee because it was a magical drink that also gives you diabetes. One day, my friend showed up at my house, and I couldn't move at all. I was peeing in a bottle at the time because I couldn't get up the stairs, and so I smelled terrible. And they showed up, and they brought me a teddy bear, they brought me a thing of Mountain Dew, and on the label, they wrote unicorn pee on it instead to show their love for me. They sat with me, and they watched movies with me, and they spent time with me. And I was just sitting there, just quietly crying in pain, just sitting there, so boring. And yet, they were there, caring for me. And that's a picture of them with me and Becca at our wedding there. And the contrast between active love and love with words and in speech, it compelled me to pass on that action to a boy in my school who got knee surgery right after I got my cast off. And so I did the same thing. I went to his house every day. I would watch Disney movies with him. And we spent time together. I tried to show him this active love. I tried to do something about it. And that's a picture of us when we were young kids, me with my long hair and him with the glasses there. And he was actually in my wedding party a month ago. His name is Tyler LeBrash. He's one of my best friends in the world. Active love takes more sacrifice than just writing, get well soon. It takes us to lay down something. It takes time, it takes effort, sometimes resources. And in Jesus' case, it took his life. So far by this text, we've been urged to choose life instead of death, and more importantly, love instead of hate. And this love, we're painted a picture of it. It looks like Jesus. It looks like an active giving of ourselves. It looks like showing it through actions. And finally, John points out that love is what makes us as Christians different. This is continuing in verse 19. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. So this first part is very confusing. I had to get Christian to explain it to me. I'm just a new pastor. But this is about our assurance in Christ. John assures believers that they don't need to be worried about whether they are in God's kingdom or not. If they're showing love in their actions, they're undoubtedly aligned with Jesus. And if for some reason, after all of this, we still feel this insecurity about our belonging in Christ, John says that that unsureness in our hearts does not determine our salvation. God does, and he's so much bigger than any doubt or insecurity we could ever have. And this is the main text today. And it says, "And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us." So the main point here is that the one who keeps the command to love is the one who is in Christ. It is the defining quality of Christians, this active love. It is what makes us different. So this text, it calls us to choose love, a love that is active. And we're to choose this love because it is what makes us different. So today, as I said, it's sometimes difficult to figure out how we make ourselves as Christians different. And there seems to be less and less that distinguishes us. We can try to remove ourselves from the world. We can burn Will's guitar and trash Sash's drum set. But there's also something so much bigger that makes us different as Christians. Love. Active love, to be exact. If you want to make sure that the world around you understands Jesus' love for them, show it in your actions. Let people see that you're willing to lay down your life for friends and strangers. Now, this doesn't mean that you're going to die for every stranger you come across on your walk home from work. But lay aside your time. Lay aside your heart, your headspace, your prayers. Show people that you really care. It's awesome that we as Christians, we always talk about how much we love the world around us. That's awesome, and we need to keep being positive and saying we love our neighbors, we love the people we encounter. But it's also important that they know that, and they understand it and can see it. But it's not love in words or in speech, but in actions and in truth. So if we all were able to show love actively, and it's hard, I don't do it nearly enough, would people see that our church and that our faith is radically different? I hope so, and John hoped the same thing, that in showing Christ love, the greater world around us would see it, that we'd be able to extend it to each other in our church, to our community, and beyond. And I'd like to invite the worship team back up.